Okay, well, we're taking a little break from Galatians, doing something a little different. Actually, it was something I was thinking about before Katie and I went on our trip. And it's called The Path of Least Resistance. And what happened, we were down at, we're seeing my sister in California. She lives in Santa Barbara, which is a beautiful place. Anybody ever been there? Really pretty. I mean, the only reason they're there is because they bought their house like a long time ago. It's a very expensive place now. But went down to the beach, beautiful beach. I got to watch somebody do something I've never seen before, and I think the name of it is called windsurfing. Have you, anybody ever seen windsurfing? Boy, I mean, it's like, I mean, I don't know if it's the same thing. We'll see a picture here in a minute. This is the path of least resistance. This is windsurfing here. That's me talking to the guy. It's a big, huge thing, and inside is like a foam thing inside for, I guess, keep it rigid. But this guy could pick this up and just walk away with it. It was just that light. He had around him some kind of a harness-looking thing with cables that hooked up to these things. I mean to tell you, this guy could just flat move. His board was a shorter board with like more like water skiing with it, where you put your feet into it. He would be so far out there, it was almost scary. I said, okay, man, that guy's way too far on the ocean. You could barely see him. But he turned that thing around. He'd be back close to the shore in just a matter of, boom, just seemed like seconds, that thing just flew. But I watched all this windsurfing, wind sports, and there was a cliff over here. You couldn't see where they started, but I knew about this place, and they'd jump off this cliff, and the updraft of the wind catches them, and there's hang gliding. Have you ever seen that? You ever seen hang gliding? We just all stretch out flat, and the thing is carrying you. Then later down the beach, another beach, a guy was doing a kite flying thing. He had the handles on it. It was a big kite, and he was doing tricks with it. It was, you know, and it just struck me there was something there in common. There was a common bond with all these wind sports. And the common bond was, yeah, the wind, yeah, that's good. You got it. You're very close. But the point was, the wind was working in their favor. You know, they were making the wind work for them, whether it was that going on the ocean or hang gliding or with a kite, the wind was working. They were working with the wind. And so today we're taking a break from Galatians. We're about halfway through. We'll pick it up again. There's three chapters. We've got three left. But I just want to talk about that a little bit because I thought about that a lot, gave a lot of thought about it before we even left on our trip. Of course, now we're going to talk about a different wind, the wind of the Holy Spirit. He's called a wind, holy wind in the Bible. And so I thought about all this, and then I get to the beach and we see all this stuff, and it was just totally confirmed what I've been thinking about. And I told the guy, I says, man, you're good. You are really good. You got so much control. I mean, he's got to go over all those waves. He was just shoo and shoo. He said, well, of course, it wasn't his first rodeo. He practiced for a while, but just amazing watching that. So this is about the Holy Spirit and whether you're going with him or whether you're going against him. And it's the path of least resistance of what we're talking about here. So I hope it'll be meaningful to you. I think it could be very life-changing if you get a hold of this whole concept, what we're talking about. So let's just pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you that you didn't leave us alone. Jesus, when you talked to your disciples, you says, I have to leave, and I'm not leaving you alone. I'm going to send a comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to empower you. He's going to guide and direct you. So thank you, Lord. Today we can live with that, with the power of the Holy Spirit. Each one of us that know Christ can have that power working in our lives. We're so thankful for that. So bless this time together. Just make it meaningful. May it touch your hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So, let's talk about a couple of things here. First, going against the wind is a drag. Going against the wind is a real drag. And Kate, if you go back to that first picture of the guy, you know, it's like he's going against the wind, you know, and it's kind of tough. Kind of tough going that way. But let's first establish what we're talking about, because now we've gone from windsurfing to hang gliding to the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about God's Spirit, the Spirit that lives inside a Christian. When you receive Christ, you get the Holy Spirit. Now, the word in Hebrew is ruach. Ruach means the wind, but it can also mean the Spirit or the Holy Spirit, or a funny way to think about it, I guess, would be the Holy Wind. Sounds kind of weird, right? But the Holy Spirit is the Holy Wind. You can see that Jesus talked about this in John chapter 3. Remember, this fellow named Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, probably because he was supposed to be a religious leader. Well, he was a religious leader, and he was supposed to have the answers. And he probably didn't want to be seen by his other people that he's coming to Jesus asking about questions about life and spiritual birth and all this kind of stuff. And you can see that this guy, Nicodemus, even though he's a very smart man religious-wise, he was not really getting the concept of what it means to be born again or to know Christ. And so you see, when Jesus was talking to him in John 3, verse 7 and 8, he says this: "You should not be surprised at my saying. You must be born again." And then he says, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." And born of the Spirit means you've received Christ. So you could tell that this guy, wow, what's he talking about? The wind blows and you don't know where it's coming or where it's going. Well, you don't a lot of times. But Nicodemus was totally in the dark about this whole thing. And so, you know, if the conversation goes on, he says, "Well, what do you talk about exactly? Being born again, can you enter into your mother's womb and be born again? That's not possible." But Jesus wasn't talking about another physical birth, was he? He was talking about a spiritual rebirth. And so he's talking about the wind here. The wind, of course, is the Holy Spirit. So you can see it's not so weird when you look at it that way. So Nicodemus was a bit at a loss to understand all this. But we know, don't we? We as followers of Christ, we know. Because now, of course, we have God's Word and it's all explained to us. We know what that wind is. We know who the Holy Spirit is. And we know how it all, at least we should know, how it kind of works. We have a chance to work with the Holy Spirit or against the Holy Spirit. That's a constant choice we're making as a Christian. Am I working with the Holy Spirit or am I working against the Holy Spirit? If you work against the Holy Spirit, it's a drag. It's like the guy in the picture. It's hard work. And it wears you out. And you get weary. It will wear you out. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 shows you that God is just not some robot up there. He's, in fact, may come as a surprise to some people, he's got feelings. Did you know God has feelings? Now, not like exactly like us, you know, we don't want to bring God down to our level. When he gets out of upset, God's not in heaven going, "Ooh, ooh." I mean, no, of course not. He's got a little bit more under control than we are, but he has feelings. He's not just a robot that feels nothing. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, we read that. "Do not put out the Spirit's fire." In some translations it says, "Do not quench the Spirit." Other translations say, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit." Did you know that you can grieve God? Everybody knew that? You can grieve God. And when you grieve God, you're going against the wind. You're not working with him. And so when we were walking against the wind, you know, that's not the way we want to be, is it? In all these wind sports, you see a common bond. Leah said the wind, but they're all working what? With the wind. They're all making the wind work in their favor. And if they try to fight the wind, it wouldn't work out. They're working with the wind. The wind is empowering them to do all these different sports. And so, friends, let me ask you this morning. Are you weary today? Are you weary? Are you struggling? Does the Christian walk seem a real drag sometimes? If you were honest, be honest with yourself. Are you tired of just this whole following Jesus thing? Are you? Maybe you're not. I hope you're not. If you are, you might consider the fact that maybe you're working against the wind, against God's Spirit. It's a drag. It really is. It'll wear you out. It's not the way you're supposed to live. Or I could ask the other opposite side of that question. Are you weary? Is life a struggle? Or are you invigorated today? Do you feel empowered? Do you feel the fresh wind of God's Spirit in your back? Huh? There's a huge difference, isn't there? Well, this might be something to think about, because there is a better way. God never intended us for it to just be working against the wind, working against His Spirit. There is a better way, and that better way is simply this. Going with the Spirit or with the wind is a breeze. A drag or a breeze? Which way are you going? What's been your experience lately? Well, let's talk about a second one, because that's a lot more positive than the first one, huh? Who wants a drag to their life? Second point is, going with the wind is a breeze. Does it show him going the other way, Katie, or is it the same guy? I think we're stuck with that guy, so. So, I talked to this wind server, and boy, I mean, he just made it look easy. He made it look so easy. I mean, he was so far out in that ocean, it's like, man, I'd be afraid some shark would get me or something. Or you fall off your board, somebody's got to rescue. He was so far, he was almost out of sight. He would turn that thing around, make the wind work for him, and he was back over close to the shore and just nothing, flat. It was truly amazing. So I told the guy, I says, man, you are really good at this thing. I mean, you have really, I've been watching you, and you've got it down. It was a joy watching him. Of course, he's practiced many times. When you're not going against the wind, then the wind is working for you. It's like having the wind behind your back. What a difference the way you're walking. You ever walking to a strong wind? Or many of you, these guys that do the newscast, you know, during the hurricanes, they're just barely hanging on. You know, the wind is just about to knock them over. But when the wind is behind you, it's wonderful, isn't it? It's absolutely wonderful. When the wind is at your back, then you flow with the wind. And I'm certainly not suggesting that you're not going to have any trials. You're not going to have any tough times. You're not going to have any heartaches or difficulties. No, Jesus even said, in this world you will have trouble. But what a difference it is when that wind is behind you, bringing you through all your difficulties and all your struggles. I mean, you just feel God's empowerment. And quite honestly, that's what the service was about yesterday. Rosemary let God work in her favor. That's why she was able to go through such difficulties and still be positive. It's a beautiful thing to see. So life may be tough, but when you're working with the wind, with the Holy Spirit, God brings you through it, doesn't He? He brings you through it. Anybody with me here today? Is this making sense? All right. So, you know, we can be like the windsurfer. Anybody want to be a windsurfer today? No, thank you. I got to say, it looked kind of like fun. And then when he finally quit, he had to land that thing just right, because the thing was rather big. You don't want to knock somebody out when you bring the thing down. You know, a lot of people on that beach, so hate to have total control, find a nice little opening, and boom. Fun to watch. Well, maybe you don't want to be a windsurfer, but we could surf, so to speak, with God's Spirit. We can have God's Spirit working through us. We can have God's Spirit empowering us. We can have the wind at our back rather than struggling against the wind. You know, God's Spirit is there to guide us, to empower us, to direct us, to show us, to teach us. That's what Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do. Now, the neat thing is, you know, Jesus could only be in one place at a time, huh? Wherever he went, there's the crowd had to follow. He said, I go away. It's for your own good if I go away, because when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to indwell in each one of you. I'm not going to be just one place. Every believer, everyone that loves me will have the Holy Spirit. So on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was sent down, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So now he's available to everybody. That is just a neat thing. Because now we're empowered to live the Christian life. Life does not have to be a drag. It can be a breeze. Even through tough times. Let's look at some more verses here. Romans 8:14. Because those who are, what's it say? Are led by the Spirit of God, are sons of God. Those who are led, he will lead you, he will guide you, he will direct you. And in those wonderful chapters of John, where Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit who would come, in John 16, he says about all the wonderful things the Holy Spirit would do in our life. In John 16:13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak in his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. So he's going to guide us, direct us, show us what's yet to come. Now here's a really neat verse. You guys all know this one. In Isaiah 40, talking about the eagles. You guys like to see those eagles? I love to watch them just soaring and just soaring. And just, they make it look so easy, don't they? Boy, talk about working with the wind, right? Isaiah 40:31. Those who hope in the Lord, and some verse says those who wait on the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Did that sound like the walk, the breeze we're talking about? That's not a drag there, huh? Run and not grow weary. Walk and not faint. Eagles, all those birds are fun to watch. Yeah, just like the guy when he put up his sail and it caught the wind. Phew, off he'd go. Eagles, they know how to use the wind, huh? The wind gets under their wings. And they just soar and soar and soar. They make it look so easy, don't they? Just like that windsurf, it's so easy. God says, you can be like that eagle. If you wait on me and spend some time with me, I'm going to empower you. I'm going to empower you to soar like the eagles. You're going to run. Other people are going to be all weary, but you're not going to get tired. You're going to run and not get weary. It's, boy, that's a beautiful thing. Guys, life does not have to be a drag. Christianity, following Jesus, does not have to be a drag. It shouldn't be a drag. You shouldn't be always fighting the wind. The wind should be at your back, carrying you, lifting you up above your circumstances. That's really what God does. He doesn't always remove the circumstances, does he? Say, oh, Lord, take this trial away from me. Take this difficulty away from me. He said, no, I'm going to teach you to rise above it. I'm going to teach you to rise above your circumstances. When everybody else is falling apart, you'll be soaring. Like, where do those people get such strength from? Where do those people get such peace from? They're being carried by the Holy Spirit. And life can be a breeze. Now, here's the last thing, third thing. So what is the direction of God's Spirit? That's a very important question to ask. Which way does God's Spirit blow? What is the direction of God's Spirit? You've got to be able to answer that question if you're going to catch the wind, so to speak. Then which way is it blowing? Do I put it up that way or do I put it up that way? Maybe you could put your little finger in the air like this, you know. Make it wet and go, I think it's coming from over there. Do you ever do that? I don't know how accurate that is, but you know, to work with the Holy Spirit, obviously you have to know what direction the Holy Spirit is moving. Does that make sense? You got to be able to answer that question. So which way does God's Spirit blow? Can we even know the answer to that? What do you think? Well, Nicodemus certainly didn't know. He was totally at a loss. It's like, what are you talking about? I don't get this stuff you're telling me. The wind blows and you don't know direction. You got to be born again. I don't get any of this stuff. But he didn't have the Holy Spirit, did he? We do know. We can know. Even though Nicodemus maybe didn't know, you and I can know which way God's wind blows. Does anybody know which way it blows? Probably nobody's going to dare say it, give an answer to that one. I'm going to give you a hint. It's good. What's that? Towards the righteous? Oh, boy, he's very, very close. Okay, here's the hint. Here is the hint. What is his name? He is called the what? Holy Spirit. Uh-huh. Do you realize that's the answer right there? George, you were really, man, you were just right there. Way to go, George. You get the prize. I don't know what the prize is, but we'll think of something. He's the Holy Spirit. You know, it's so simple, you trip over it. Have you ever noticed that some of the simplest things can be the most profound things? Everybody's trying, oh, which way does the Holy Spirit blow? Oh, man, I better do a big, hairy study on that one. No, he's the Holy Spirit. So which way does God's Spirit blow? Always towards what? The holy. Always towards the holy. Never towards what? You guys, are you guys awake this morning? The unholy, never towards the unholy. Always towards the holy. It's so simple yet so profound. So what exactly is holiness? Well, here's a definition. It means sacred. It means set apart for God. It means purity of heart. It means to belong to God. I think people like to complicate things, don't you? I mean, the whole thought of holiness gets so blasted complicated that nobody wants to touch it anymore. What is it? Oh, no, that's like for the old days or something. So let's simplify it. When you realize that you as a believer in Christ are set aside, set apart unto who? Unto Christ. So really all you got to concentrate on is not a whole bunch of rules and regulations, wondering if you're doing it all right. You just have to fall in love with him, that's all. Say every day you get up, Jesus, my life is yours. I want to follow you. I just want to love you. I want to serve you. I want to know you. I'm set apart for you. And my life is to live for you. If you do that, listen, you'll be heading towards the holy. You certainly aren't going to head towards the unholy. And you don't want anything in your life that's going to hurt your testimony. I mean, we're like light in the world. Man, the moment they find out you're a Christian, they are watching you like a hawk. Is that true? Watching you like a hawk. Oh, that guy, he says he's a Christian, but look how dishonest he is. Oh, she says she's a Christian, but look how angry she is. Hey, you know, just live your life to be a bright light, to be a good testimony. Say, Lord, don't let me do anything to hurt the cause of Christ. Right? You'll be heading towards the holy. So which way are you walking this morning? Is life a breeze or is life a drag? Are you weary? Are you tired? Are you getting worn out? Why? Maybe you're neither one. I hope there's more you can say, life's good. I'm really following Christ and it's been a wonderful journey. Or maybe if you're honest, you'd say, well, I'm over here. It's kind of a drag. It's kind of a struggle. I'm getting weary. Maybe you're in the middle. Not quite at the breeze part, not quite at the drag part. So what are you going to change? What do you want? Are you moving towards the holy in your life? You know, these wind sports are all about working with the wind. Every one of these sports, they're working with the wind. The wind is working in their favor. The wind is working for them. And there's no escaping that. You know, we don't have to go just to the beach to see that, because I see it around this area. We happen to live on a little ridge looking down over Shadow Mountains. And sometimes I see those pelicans down there. You guys ever watch the pelicans? Well, they start circling. And pretty soon they circle a little higher, and a little higher, and a little higher. And now they're catching the updraft from our ridge. That's why those guys do the hang gliding. They jump off a cliff because there's an updraft there. And so they're catching the updraft of where we live on the ridge, and it is the coolest sight. I mean, it is one of the most beautiful sights I've ever seen. I wish everybody here could have seen it. Have you seen it? Sometimes they go right over our house. They circle right over the house. I said, Katie, look, I wish you could get pictured somehow, you know, but they're moving. And they are just soaring, and they're big. They're big, aren't they? And they're beautiful. And you see a whole group of them just soaring right over your house. And I say, well, that is one of the coolest sights there's got to be in this world. I'm a blessed man to live up here on this little ridge, you know. And it's not just them. It's the osprey. You guys ever watch those osprey? Guess where they love to hang out? Right above the ridge. I can hear them. They got a eek, eek. You can hear that distinct sound. And I'm looking for them. Sometimes hard to spot them. There they are. And they will just circle and circle and circle right over that ridge. Because they're catching what? The wind. They're catching the wind. Now, it's a little tricky sometimes, and Linda can tell you this is true. Wind can shift on you. And boy, when we're talking fires here, this gets to be extremely dangerous. Because the wind can be going one way, and all of a sudden it can turn on you. And that's how we lost those firefighters in Arizona, wasn't it? Because the wind all of a sudden abruptly turned, and man, you got a blazing thing coming at you. This has been a horrible year for fires. Oregon was on fire. Washington was on fire. Montana, over a million acres. I saw a picture. We used to drive out of Portland because we lived in Portland, Forest Grove. The Columbia Gorge. How many of you have seen the Columbia Gorge? Oh, that's a beautiful spot. Multnomah Falls and all that stuff. From the Washington side, somebody had taken a picture of the other side, the Oregon side, and the whole horizon was nothing but flames. I thought, how sad for such a beautiful spot. I mean, that place is not going to look the same when it's all over. But boy, when those winds shift on you, so dangerous, huh? Got to be so aware of that. Well, here's the neat part about that. The Holy Spirit doesn't turn on you like a fire does. The Holy Spirit is constant. He will never let you down. He will never betray you. He will never turn on you. He's always for you. You can have the wind at your back all the time for the rest of your life. God's Spirit can be behind you, empowering you, helping to live this life so it's not a drag, but it's a breeze. Let's look at a couple verses here. 1 Peter 1:16. So he tells us to live a holy life. God's Spirit is always towards the holy, never towards the unholy. So that's an easy way to figure out if you're going in the right direction, if which way God's Spirit moves. 1 Peter 1:16. Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. That's what God says. Be holy. Now here's the thing that's kind of crazy. You know, we've read stories about people that have leaders, Christian leaders, or maybe pastors, and, you know, it says, don't be drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. We've heard of leaders that have been let go or fired because they ended up being drunk, right? It's not good. Not good for testimony. However, in that same verse that says don't be drunk with wine, it also says be filled with the Holy Spirit. So how come people get fired for being drunk, but nobody ever gets fired when they're not filled with the Holy Spirit? Think about that one for a bit. Have you ever heard of any Christian leader that got fired or let go because they weren't filled with the Holy Spirit? It's in the same verse. So why do we only pick on half of it? Well, I don't get any ideas now. I'm trying to be filled here, so. But, you know, in Revelation, you see it over and over when actually when people are before the throne, whether it's the elders or multitudes, they're always saying the same thing, aren't they? And you see it over and over, Revelation 4:8. Now, this is about the each of the four living creatures had six wings and were covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night, they never stop saying, what do you think they say? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, 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 day and night. You think they're making a point here? You think perhaps God might be holy? Do you think maybe he wants us to be holy? Be ye holy, for I am holy, he says. Revelation 15:4. Another incident. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you, get this now, for you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. You alone. There is no other holy God in this world. There is no other holy God in this universe. There's only one holy God. That's our God. And friends, the only reason you and I are ever going to get to heaven, the only reason you and I are ever going to see Jesus' face, is because we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. When you receive Christ, you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. He doesn't see your sin anymore. He only sees Christ's righteousness. Boy, that's a good thing. Because if he saw our sin, none of you are going to be there, including myself. We cannot stand in the presence of a holy God. Because we're all, might as well admit it, we're all sinners. Anybody here not? We know we are. That's the only way we're going to be in the presence of a holy God. There's only one true God, and he is holy. So let me close with this story. This gentleman here, Bible teacher F.B. Meyer, he once had a firewood factory, and he employed prisoners. Meyer would give them a job. Hey, you'll preach this one, yeah? You like this one. He used to be in a line of work. He gave them a job to do, good wages, a place to live, and when possible, spiritual encouragement. In exchange, he expected them to render good employment. Do you think they did? Well, they didn't. They did not, and he lost money. In fact, he lost so much money, he finally had to let everybody go. Fired them all, and he purchased a circular saw powered by a gas engine. In 1 hour, it turned out, this gas-powered saw, it turned out more work than the combined efforts of all the men covered in the course of a whole day. One day, Meyer had a little conversation with his saw. Now, I know you can't really talk to the saw, but they don't talk back either. But anyway, he had a little chat with his saw. How can you turn out so much work, he asked. Are you sharper than the saws my men were using? No. Is your blade shinier? No. Well, what then? Better oil or lubrication against the wood? The saw answered, if it could speak, would have been, I think there is a stronger driving power behind me. Something is working through me with a new force. It is not I, it is a power behind me. You know where this is going, don't you? Meyer later observed that many Christians and many ministers are working in the power of the flesh, in the power of their intellect, their energy, their enthusiastic zeal, but with poor effect. They need to become linked to the power of God through the Holy Ghost. So there is your answer, right there. The path of least resistance is what it is. Are you working with the wind or against the wind? Are you working with God's Spirit or against God's Spirit? Is your life a drag or is it a breeze? Are you weary this morning? Tired? Getting worn out? Are you invigorated and empowered? Are you going against the wind, or is the wind empowering you? Just like that gas engine, he had a power behind him, didn't he? That worked through him. And that's the way God is showing us how to live, everybody. This is how you can live. When you let the Holy Spirit empower you, you will mount up like the eagles. You will soar. You will walk. You'll run and not get weary. You'll have strength. You'll be empowered. That's the way to live. Not a drag, but a breeze. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. We know, Lord, we all go through times in our lives. Sometimes we're really doing great. Maybe life is a breeze, and at other times it's kind of a drag. And somehow we've lost track of where this power is supposed to come from. Comes from you, Lord. It's not within ourselves. So help us to decide right now. We're going to let the Holy Spirit empower us. We're going to let you be the wind in our back. We don't want to be working against you. We want to work and go towards the holy, because that's the direction you always blow. So, Lord, empower each person here today. Help us to live in such a way that we can be like those eagles. We can live above our circumstances, even difficulties, and we can be empowered by you. Just use this message and touch each heart now. In Jesus' name, amen.